The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
This morning we turn to two brief little chapters in Ezekiel 33 and 34. I'm not going to read them because it would take us till about 11 o'clock if I did. Nonetheless, they are very important chapters. In fact, they are chapters I think that every pastor should read at least once a year to remind himself of the solemn duties that are his as a Christian pastor. Chapter 33 speaks to us about the solemn necessity for warning people about the judgment to come, and for seeking to turn people away from themselves and their sin to God. Let me read a few verses from verse 7 of chapter 33. "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life." Now, this indicates to us the seriousness of the pastoral calling, the necessity for warning all, without exception, of their relationship and standing before God, and of their standing throughout eternity, either amongst those who are redeemed or those who have rejected redemption. And as we consider these things, we may well say with St. Paul, as he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "Who is sufficient for these things?" We are totally inadequate to deal with such a ministry. But then in the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, "Our sufficiency is of God." And so this is what enables us to undertake this ministry and to pursue it in all seriousness. And then in chapter 34, we have a chapter of the most solemn warning to those shepherds who are unfaithful shepherds, who do not feed the sheep, instead they feed themselves. They are not concerned about the sheep who are entrusted to their care, but all they are concerned about is their own reputation, their own prosperity, and growing fat themselves. Let me read a few verses from chapter 34, beginning at the first verse. "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy, and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ho, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them." And then there follow the most serious warnings to such shepherds of what is going to overtake them. We look at verse 10. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand." And in verse 11, For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. Now, of course, God's work will be done irrespective of us, but God has placed us and is calling us to a position of solemn responsibility. We need to remember that our Lord is himself the great shepherd of the sheep, and that he is also the shepherd of the shepherds, the pastor pastorum, and therefore that we are accountable to him and our lives should be conformed to his life. I want to turn over to the New Testament, because there in Ezekiel 33 and 34 we have the precept. Here in the life of St. Paul we have the practice. Acts chapter 20, a very memorable passage of scripture when St. Paul calls the elders from Ephesus to come down and meet with him on the shore at Miletus. There he says farewell to them, and these are some of the things that he says to them in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 and following. But I want to look first of all at verse 26. He says to these Ephesian elders, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. You see the link there with Ezekiel 33. Why is he innocent of the blood of all of them? Well, this passage explains it. Verse 19, he says that he served the Lord with all humility. He was not a self-seeking shepherd who neglected the sheep. He was a true servant of the Lord. Verse 20, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. And so he was indeed a faithful and diligent pastor. Verse 24, I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. One great single purpose of his pastoral ministry. And then verse 21, following his statement that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And so St. Paul is able to stand before them with a clear conscience, knowing that he is indeed innocent of their blood because he has been a faithful pastor. The whole counsel of God, that is what we are to declare to our own people that are placed in our trust. Now I want to close with the commendation that Paul has here in verse 32, and then with the ascription that we have at the end of the Epistle to the Hebrews. So let us bow our heads in prayer. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.